Welcome to Ghost Biz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel, and I get to chat to the finance ghost every week. Ghost, welcome back to the show. We're heading towards the end of the year, and we start thinking about what, if we've been good or bad boys or girls, and what Santa should bring us. In your newsletter this morning, you say Santa should be bringing us some Pepkor shares. Tell us why.
Hi, Gary. Hello to all of the listeners. Yes, indeed. You could certainly do worse than ask Santa for some Pepkor shares. If you've got enough PlayStations and all the other goodies that you want, then I would consider that. If you're going to pick a share on the JSE, you could do worse than this fantastic retailer. And let's have a look why. If you look at the results for the year ended September, sends a pretty strong message here. Revenue was up 12%. Gross profit margin, that was good for 150 basis points improvement to 39.8%. Operating profit up 13.2%, so very strong teens growth here. HEPS from continuing operations, that's a key metric, that was up 14.8%. On a normalized basis, if you're willing to work with their normalized numbers, then that's 23.4%. Personally, though, I would suggest sticking to the low teens story, because if you look at the dividend, that was up only, I use only in inverted commas here, 9.2%, very strong real growth there. And headline earnings per share from total operations, so that includes the discontinued stuff, that was up by 8.4%. So I think the story here is high single digits into low teens. That's basically where Pepkor is performing at the moment. And this is supported if you look at the merchandise sales growth numbers. So the group number, 8.8% for the year with like-for-like sales of 6.5%. If you look at Southern Africa, which leaves out Pep Africa and Avenida in Brazil, that was up 7.4% on a like-for-like basis. If you then take out Southern Africa and you only look at the others, then like-for-like sales were up 8.9% in constant currency, but down 3.1% in rand terms because the rand has actually had quite a good year. I would say the only iffy section of the numbers is really Avenida. There has been some improvement there lately, but like-for-like sales were only up 1.8% for the year versus 8.8% in the fourth quarter. So some nice momentum there. But Avenida has maybe not gotten off to the best start as part of the Pepkor stable. If we look at their core businesses, Pep itself, that was the leader. Like-for-like sales, 9.3%, really solid. Ackermans, like-for-like, 7.1%, also decent. Specialty division, or speciality division, I think as they call it, that was like-for-like of 3%, but overall sales growth of 8.3%. So they have been expanding there. So just doing really decently across the board here. And then you take the fintech segment where you find revenue up 31.1% and operating profit up more than 52%. So a really good story there in terms of their value-added businesses. Now, this does include stuff like sales on credit, around 16% of total sales. A lot of the financial benefit of their credit offering lands in this fintech segment. But you'll also find Flash there. You'll find the insurance there. I think that's where they disclose their cell phone or some of the benefits from their cell phone business as well. Not 100% sure. I must check that. But what I will tell you, I am sure on, is that Pepkor sells 8 out of 10 new prepaid cell phones in South Africa. I mean, that is completely ridiculous. That is 80% market share on prepaid cell phones. That is bonkers. And here's something else that is really interesting. And I think if you're an investor in any of the banks, you want to pay attention here, or frankly, any of the other retailers. Pepkor is starting a bank. Now, this may sound very strange, but if you consider the strength of their distribution network and how involved they are in how people transact and everything they've learned from building out the fintech business and developing that trust with consumers, you can just imagine how interesting it must look internally to consider the opportunity to start a bank. And this is not just some pie-in-the-sky story. The Prudential Authority has given them a Section 13(1) approval in November. So this banking push is real. Look, it'll take time. It'll be interesting to see when it actually happens. But this is the direction they are taking. And I think it's a very good one. So Pepkor in good shape. For this next period, just be careful. The two-pot withdrawals are a very, very demanding base. So Pepkor has highlighted that for the 7 weeks to the 15th of November, group sales were up 5.3% because the prior period was 14.6%. That was when the two-pot withdrawals were just driving the retail story. But if you look at it as a two-year stack, again, you're in that typical high single digit into low teens story. That's where Pepkor is playing at the moment. And when you look at its competitors in South Africa, that is really strong.
Turn our attention now to another retailer. And we spent a lot of our time talking about retailing over the past year or so. There's been really two stories. There's been Checkers and everyone else. SPAR has released a trading statement for the 52 weeks. There is some bad news in there. And it's also important to say that while Pick and Pay is sort of holding on for a future here, SPAR is also busy with its own turnaround. Give us an update.
Yes, SPAR has been through a tough time. So first of all, in their South African business, SPAR's convenience model, which was always based on being in strip malls with easy parking and quick access on busy routes, it's your typical stop by the shop on your way home, grab some stuff from the deli, do your shopping. That's always been SPAR's strength. And unfortunately, in a world where the likes of Checkers were able to bring in 60-60, SPAR's moat was eroded by this because now that convenience offering is available on your cell phone. To make it worse, because of SPAR's franchise model, and they don't always have the best relationship with their franchisees. I must also point out there have been some pretty high profile legal disputes, and the franchisees are not actually forced to buy from SPAR. It's a bit of a voluntary model, so it makes it difficult for them. This has made it much harder for them to implement any kind of omni-channel offering. If you look at Checkers, they've got all the data on where everything is sitting in every store. But SPAR absolutely does not have that about their franchisees. So that makes it super hard to implement SPAR to you, which is, if you live in South Africa, you will have hardly seen any of these SPAR vehicles on the road. Certainly nothing compared to the cultural phenomenon that is the turquoise scooters of 60-60. So not easy for SPAR in their home markets. And then if you look internationally, it honestly just gets worse and worse. They had to basically, I don't want to say they gave away their business in Poland. It was actually worse than that. They had to go and incur a whole lot of debt just to recapitalize the business in Poland so that they could sell it, which is truly awful. They had to sell, or they didn't have to sell, but at least they chose to sell SPAR Switzerland as well, which I was happy to see. They didn't wait for it to be a complete catastrophe like in Poland, although it was on that trajectory. So they're now sitting with a situation where, yes, they've done some cleaning of house, sure. They've gotten rid of a couple of problematic offshore operations, but the local business is still a tough story, and they are now sitting with the debt from that Poland disposal that they have to get rid of. So in their trading statement, they flagged HEPS from continuing operations down by between 7.5% and 12.5%. And here's the really unfortunate thing is, whilst Poland is not a continuing operation, the debt that they had to incur at the holding company level to get rid of the thing is part of continuing operations, because that debt has not left the building along with the business in Poland. So I look forward to detailed results coming out for this thing. It's been very frustrating because it feels like it was a decent turnaround candidate and I got involved in it for that reason. And it's had some good times, it's had some bad times. There's still a good core business here. And maybe now they've finally gotten enough of the bad stuff out the way that they can build off this foundation. But sure, what a story it's been.
Let's take a look at another stock we have discussed a few times, and that's Prosus. Adjusted EBITDA, group consolidated adjusted EBITDA up 100%. Anytime there's an adjusted word in there, though, you have to sort of approach with some caution, I expect. But you are a vocal supporter of both this share and the strategy at the moment. What is Prosus doing right?
Yep, you're not wrong. I am a vocal supporter, and my share portfolio this year is a very vocal and happy recipient of those Prosus shares because they have had a great year. Obviously, gold was the thing you really wanted to own on the JSE this year, but owning Prosus has also been pretty decent. Has had a tough month, though. There's been a lot of pressure on global tech stocks. There's been some worries around AI bubbles, and obviously that just filters down into the full sector. So you know, volatility is just part of the game. I mean, that's how investing works. But the underlying business is all about building out something that is profitable and valuable other than Tencent. And it's literally as easy as that. So they basically talk about going from Tencent minus to Tencent plus. And all that means is they want to be seen by the market as more than just Tencent, as opposed to Tencent plus some noise that then needs to get valued at a discount. And they've made a lot of progress in doing that. Obviously, talk is cheap and the numbers are what really matter. But group consolidated revenue in the 6 months to September, that was up 22%. E-commerce adjusted EBITDA, which is basically their profits of everything excluding Tencent, that was up by 70%, which is really, really good. Now, yes, these are adjusted numbers, and you're absolutely right. You do need to be careful when you're looking at tech companies. But to be fair, all of the peer group companies for Prosus internationally are using much the same metrics. So in that regard, it is somewhat like for like. You just have to be careful comparing it to companies that are maybe not in the tech space. For that, you would look at headline earnings. Core headline earnings was up 13%. So obviously nowhere near as exciting, but remember that now includes 10 cents. It includes everything else. Headline earnings per share, though, was up 24%. And that is because of the gigantic share buybacks that they have been doing. So from headline earnings to headline earnings per share, it's nearly double in terms of the percentage movement, thanks to share buybacks. It just shows you how strong share buybacks actually are. But here's the metric that I think matters the most, and that is free cash flow. People love that metric, and with good reason. If you exclude the 10 cent dividend, which is very important, you get an inflow of $59 million now versus an outflow of $104 million in the prior period. This means that excluding Tencent, their businesses are now generating positive free cash flow. And that is obviously very encouraging. Having said all of that, the market will now pay a lot of attention to the recent acquisitions, because now under CEO Fabrizio Bluisi, that he needs to demonstrate that he's actually buying the right stuff, doing the right stuff with it. And JustEatTakeaway.com is going to be just one example of that. There are some others. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the company performs in 2026. Obviously, acquisitions are always risky. They're trying to do some difficult stuff. JustEatTakeaway.com is focused on Europe. Europe is not exactly a hotbed of growth, but they reckon that they can use AI and all kinds of tech tricks to actually generate some growth there. Speaks to the broader principle in the market right now, or the broader debate, really, which is, will AI actually deliver the goods? And Prosus is part of that.
All right, Ghost, that's it for the week. Lots of activity and energy going into the last couple of weeks of the year. People try and wrap things up before they go on holiday. But thank you once again for your contributions. And thank you too, listeners, for making us Namibia's number one business podcast. You can go check us out wherever, Apple, Android, or Spotify. You get your podcasts, hit like and subscribe, and tell us what you'd like to hear more about here on The Business Report.